those glaciers have shrunk. Together, they lost an average of about 6,000 acres each year, an area larger than 4,000 football fields. So they're receding at an alarming rate.
And in particular, over the last two decades, that rate has increased for most of those glaciers.
It's a worrisome preview of how dramatically climate change will affect other massive glaciers as temperatures continue to rise. And when glaciers melt into the ocean, seas rise globally. So what's happening to remote glaciers will affect coastal communities worldwide. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Here we all are. I'm Reverend Billy here, and you are in this circle of dancing people. We are the church that stopped shopping. We're graduating from our addiction to consumerism into the earth. Now, we get out of our consumerism by loving the earth. And today we're talking about loving the earth. Well, the earth is where love originates. So when we love the earth, we're loving the origination of love. So let's put it be simple here. Let's just say we are loving love because we are earth creatures ourselves. Now, we have these bodies, and we are given these bodies by the earth that evolved our bodies and created, evolved, and molded our bodies. And now we've got this desire and love in our bodies. So to love the earth, we are loving love. Loving love. And we're given our bodies inside a larger body, and the larger body is the earth. And the earth is alive. That's something a lot of us don't realize walking down the streets all day long. We're not thinking about it, but that's just the largest, biggest fact we can live in is we live inside of this living being called the earth. Our bodies and desire are given to us by this thing called the earth, this larger body we live inside of. Are you with me now so far? All right, let's go to step number two. Oh, the earth. The earth's forests, the coral reefs and the long grass prairie, and even the Arctic ice and the desert sands are all full of loving animals and plants, and there's sure to be love everywhere. We don't even know about all of the love, and we have to give up that control of knowledge. We know that we can't get all that love and put it in a box, can we? Now, the love is everywhere, from microbes below and inside, to eagles above, to the rivers flowing down the valley and then going off the cliff, and floating over the river, the clouds. And the clouds are full of life, and the water's full of life, and the soil is full of life, and you and I are full of life. Life always loves. That's how life makes life. That's the only way that life can continue to be alive, is for desire and love to be there. We're all making love as we make life. Oh, it feels really good, doesn't it? All right, somebody give me an earthaluyah here today. Earthaluyah. Earthaluyah. Earthaluyah.
Shade through the doors, because you walk by me and I walk by you. Everyone we've ever loved is walking by too, because the air around you moves like light. I gather the four walls and fall with the night, because the hours were ours. Time carries the part. Our quiet wildness is the beat of our. By me
into the silence. Go and sit down quietly by yourself for 30 to 60 minutes. 30 to 60 minutes. Most people in our society have never sat quietly for 30 to 60 minutes in their entire life. Yet I will tell you this, this method works 100% of the time. That any problem that you have, any difficulty, any challenge, any goal that you want to accomplish, if you go into the silence and sit quietly and then listen to the still small voice within, you will find that at a certain point, probably at about 25 to 30 minutes, your mind will go completely clear. And then a flow of ideas will start to flow into your mind. You'll feel energy welling up inside you. And at a precise moment, as you sit there in complete silence, no cigarettes, no coffee, no music, nothing, just complete silence, at a particular moment, your mind will go clear and wham, exactly the answer you need will come at exactly the right time. And if you will get up and go and carry out that answer, it will turn out to be exactly perfect.
In one word, consumerism.
Producers and consumers grow farther apart as sales increase. Consumers are increasingly isolated. Profits, opposition. Opposition, profits. No type of consumer is more important than the enemy.
War is crucial to consumerism. Militarism demands the largest products and the longest distribution lines. Intimacies within wars do arise, but they are closely monitored. Bands of brothers may save each other's lives, but only after all the products have exploded. Children, the apocalypses come from separation. The more terrible the end of the world, the clearer the call to look into each other's eyes and start something. Earth in me recognizes earth in you. The earth wants to reunite.
There may not be, you know, as much humanity in the world as one would like to see, but there is some. There's more than one would think. In any case, if you break faith with what you know, that's a betrayal of many, 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 many people. I may know 6 people. But that's enough. Love has never been a popular movement. And no one's ever wanted really to be free. The world is held together, really it is held together, by the love and the passion of very few people. Otherwise, of course, you can despair. Walk down the street of any city, any afternoon, and look around you. What you got to remember is what you're looking at is also you. Everyone you're looking at is also you. You could be that person. You could be that monster. You could be that cop. And you have to decide in yourself not to be.
Welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Digger wasps make a short burrow for each egg, stocking it with food and returning a few days later to provide more. A new study reveals that mother wasps can remember the locations of up to 9 separate nests at once, rarely making mistakes, despite the fact the nests are dug in bare sand containing hundreds of other eggs belonging to other females. Mothers feed their young in age order, adjusting the order if one dies, and they can even delay feeding offspring that had more food at their first visit. Their intricate scheduling reduces the chance that offspring starve. Findings suggest that the miniature brain of an insect is capable of remarkably sophisticated scheduling decisions. In fact, they can remember where and when they have fed their young and what they fed them in a way that would be taxing even to human brains. Environmental toxicologist Danielle Stevenson is pioneering a sustainable cleanup method by planting native fungi and plants that naturally extract toxins from soil scorched by wildfires. Her technique, trialed successfully on Los Angeles brownfields, dramatically reduced petrochemical pollution and revived dead zones into thriving ecosystems within a year. Stevenson's work challenges conventional dig and dump methods that relocate contaminated soil, often untreated, and could spark a broader microeconomy of fungi-powered environmental repair. Paired with native plants, these fungi may constitute a new approach to restoration, one that doesn't rely on hauling toxic soil to another zip code, but on cleaning it where it lies. With wildfires expected to grow in scale and intensity, bioremediation could offer a cheaper, healthier, and more sustainable way to protect scorched communities from chemical exposure while healing the land. A new systematic review of animal studies on wireless radio frequency, or RF radiation, and cancer, commissioned by the World Health Organization and published in Environment International, concluded with high certainty that exposure to wireless RF radiation causes two types of cancer in animals, gliomas in the brain and schwannomas in the heart. Animal studies do not always directly translate to human health risks, but if animal studies show evidence of a substance causing cancer, the World Health Organization and the U.S. Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry generally consider it a potential human carcinogen. As Iraq's rivers run dry and desert sands overtake farmland, families once rooted in the Fertile Crescent are uprooting their lives in search of water and survival. Iraq is facing intensifying climate impacts, with temperatures rising nearly twice as fast as the global average, and water scarcity accelerating desertification in historically fertile regions. Once thriving farms now rely on dwindling and contaminated water sources, forcing families to abandon livestock and leave behind generational land as crops fail. Displaced rural communities often move to informal urban settlements with poor sanitation and limited opportunity, while tensions over water access have led to local conflict and armed violence. The substances behind the slimy strings from okra and the gel from fenugreek seeds could trap microplastics better than a commonly used synthetic polymer. Previously, researchers proposed using these sticky natural polymers to clean up water, but now they report that okra and/or fenugreek extracts attracted and removed up to 90% of microplastics in ocean water, freshwater, and groundwater. The Permian Basin is a large sedimentary basin in the southwestern U.S., primarily in West Texas and southeastern New Mexico. It's known for being the highest producing oil field in the U.S. and one of the largest hydrocarbon producing basins in the world. It produces millions of gallons of wastewater daily as a byproduct of oil and gas extraction. This produced water contains hundreds of contaminants, including salts, hydrocarbons, heavy metals, and sometimes radioactive materials. Amid Texas's deepening water shortages, a West Texas firm is pushing to recycle fracking wastewater for farming, though skeptics question the safety and feasibility of the plan. Texas Pacific Water Resources has developed a treatment process to clean fracking wastewater or produced water so it can be reused for agricultural purposes. Tests showed no contaminants in treated soil or plants. The state's growing population, climate stress, and aging infrastructure have created urgent water shortages, prompting both legislative funding and private innovation. Critics warn that despite promising tests, scaling up produced water treatment poses technical, environmental, and regulatory challenges that could take years to resolve. Nearly one out of five women and one out of seven men age 20 and older globally faced sexual violence as a child, according to a study published in The Lancet. This is the most comprehensive investigation of the prevalence of sexual violence against children, covering 204 locations by age and sex from 1990 to 2023, while accounting for when people were first exposed to such violence. Scientists studying empathy have found that people are more likely to choose to empathize with groups rather than individuals, even though they find empathizing equally difficult and uncomfortable in both cases. The scientists suggest that the sight of groups of people could offer more contextual information which helps people decide whether to empathize and therefore increases the chances that they choose to do so. Researchers defined empathy as understanding, feeling, and sharing in another's world while maintaining the understanding that it's not the same as your world. Empathy can come at a price, as feeling others' pain tends to be painful. In a paper published in Physical Review C, the scientific ALICE collaboration reports measurements that quantify the transmutation of lead into gold in the Large Hadron Collider. Transforming the base metal lead into the precious metal gold was a dream of medieval alchemists. This long-standing quest, known as chrysopoeia, may have been motivated by the observation that dull gray, relatively abundant lead is of a similar density to gold, which has long been coveted for its beautiful color and rarity. People who use AI apps at work are perceived by their colleagues as less diligent, lazier, and less competent than those who do not use them. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration will no longer track the cost of climate change-fueled weather disasters, including floods, heat waves, wildfires, and more. It is the latest example of changes to the agency and the Trump administration limiting federal government resources on climate change. NOAA falls under the U.S. Department of Commerce and is tasked with daily weather forecasts, severe storm warnings, and climate monitoring. The agency said its National Centers for Environmental Information would no longer update its billion-dollar weather and climate disasters database beyond 2024, and that its information, going as far back as 1980, would be archived. And now the sounds of extinction. The Mount Augustus snail. Threatened by coal mining in New Zealand's South Island, a small population of the Mount Augustus snail was transplanted from its forest habitat almost 20 years ago to live in chilled containers tended by humans. Conservation efforts suffered a drastic setback in 2011 when a faulty temperature gauge froze 800 Mount Augustus snails to death inside their climate-controlled containers. Fewer than 2,000 snails currently live in captivity, while small populations have been reestablished in the New Zealand wild. Their hard shells make it difficult to mate, so some snail species, including the Mount Augustus, have evolved a special genital pore under their head, where they squeeze out an egg. The long-lived snails can grow to the size of a golf ball, and their eggs can take more than a year to hatch. They eat mostly earthworms. And hear the sound of life beneath the soil.
Smoking car. understand.
On Fox Business News, they ask me, are you a real preacher? Children, there's only one authentic preacher now, and the sermons come in the form of cyclones and floods, fire, drought, two-mile-wide freak tornadoes. The planet is pounding the pulpit, shouting consumerism is not an economy that we can live with. We're buying our way into the shapocalypse. Let us pray. We will stop shopping and start giving. Stop shopping and start living. Stop shopping and we will start loving. Change, alleluia.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SF Youth Community Radio Station, broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.